Wow. Thank you, church. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, youth ensemble. My goodness. They blew us away, didn't they? Thank you, ladies. And handbells. I've always enjoyed and loved handbells, and I just appreciate the handbells so very, very much. Wow, I'm really alive, Jim. Thank you. It was really picking me up there. Thank you for being here today, and I'm grateful for your presence. My little sweet wife is standing up back there, Roma. Let them take a look at you. Some of them hadn't seen you for a while. We're so glad to have her well and back with me. She wouldn't let me preach to her at home, so the only way I could preach to her was get her back well and get her back to the church so I could preach to her. She'd just cut me off. At home. No, I'm just kidding. But it's so good to have her back with me today. Guys, I don't know, but can we light those two lights right up there? It's a little dark here on the word for me this morning. These two right here, I'm a little dark. I need some help. Thank you, Matt. Matt tried to scare the tar out of us Thursday night. Ended up at the hospital, but we're glad he's doing well and doing better as also. Take your Bibles and turn with me this morning, thank you, to Matthew chapter 1. And when you found Matthew chapter 1, stand with me, please. Matthew chapter 1, in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We do not worship, listen carefully, we do not worship the Word of God. We worship the living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. However, we honor God and we honor Him in reverence on Sunday mornings and other times when we stand in praise and worship in honor of His Word to us. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and said, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Christ child should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they went, and were come to the house. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm having a problem seeing. And when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not depart returned to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. May our Heavenly Father bless the reading of His Word. Thank you, and you may be seated. That's all right. I don't want to insult your intelligence this morning, but I'm going to read something, and the reason I'm going to read it so I don't chase a rabbit or get off track some, but I think it's important that I read this because next Sunday we will finish this series of messages leading up to the birth and the coming of Jesus Christ, His first advent. The first Sunday in January, we will start a series on where do we go from here. Where do we go as a people? Where do we go as a nation? Where do we go as believers in Christ? Second Sunday in January, we will be looking at celebrating together the Lord's Supper, communion. Then the third Sunday in January, the 15th, is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. You do not want to miss that Sunday. We will have a special pulpit guest that Sunday with his family to share with us how that he almost was aborted. And so I urge you to invite your family and friends for these coming Sundays. Then, beginning on the 22nd of January, I'm looking into bringing a series of prophetic messages. I want to just say this, and in light of where we are in this story today in the Christian message and the story of the birth of Christ, I believe that it is extremely critical, church, that we pray in this interim period until January the 20th especially, in the transfer of power that's taking place. I want you to hear what I'm trying to say to you. Jesus came into the world at a very, very evil time. Jerusalem was under control of Rome. Herod was the son of Antipas, who had been placed in power and position at that time. He was a very cruel individual. Some had said that you was better to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's son. Remember, the Jews would not eat pork. Hello. And he came, if you remember, you know anything about the background of Herod, you know that he came from, he was an Idumean. He was an Edomite. You know where the Edomites came from, the same place the Moabites came from. He came out of the incestuous relationship that took place between Lot and his two daughters when they left Sodom. And so the history of Herod and the whole Herodian line is a very evil and a very time of great, great darkness that was upon the earth and upon the world at that time. It has seemed to me in my personal study in the revelation of Scripture that when it gets the darkest, that's when God shines His light the brightest, so to speak. I truly believe in my heart that this is a very critical time in the history of our nation and the history of our world. In light of all that you have been hearing on the news in regard to Russia, if you study prophetic Scripture, and we're looking at prophetic Scripture today. We're looking, in fact, Paul writes to the church at Galatia and said, in the fullness of time, in other words, when time was ripe, when do you pick an apple? When do you pick fruit? When do you harvest? When it is ripe. And that literally means when the world was ripe, when the world was the darkest. So I want you to try to grasp that today and try to understand the context of how God sent His light into the world in one of the darkest periods in the history of the world. I believe that we are very close to that period right now. I truly believe in my heart. I read last night. God was just all over me yesterday afternoon and last night, church. And His presence was so real to me. And His power was so real in my heart and my life. And I just could not get enough of Him. And He began to speak into my spirit and speak into my heart. And I tell you that this morning, not to draw any attention to me. Please take your eyes off of me. But look at the Son, the Savior of the world, the One who came the first time 2,000 years ago. And church, He's coming again. He's coming again. Every prophetic Scripture in regard to His first coming was fulfilled. So it stands to reason. It stands to reason. Even an unbeliever would have to admit that reason says, logic says, if every Scripture prophetic word in regard to his first coming was fulfilled, then every prophetic word in regard to his second coming will also be fulfilled. So let me read this to you, lest I start chasing rabbits and go hunting on you instead. The Magi were from Babylon, where Daniel had been taken in captivity some 500 plus years earlier. Let me explain this to you. And if I'm a little long today, guests, please just know sometimes I am long, okay? But I'm telling you, this message is so burning in my heart. 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah chapter 6. Now listen carefully. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah talks about seeing God. Isaiah talks about seeing God. When you have a vision of God, then you will have a vision of yourself and how God sees you. And that can be either in a not too pleasant light or in a good light. Secondly, Isaiah saw himself. And then Isaiah saw his mission. And his mission then, and the response of that mission was, "Hear my Lord, send me." And then in chapter 7, in verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." So I'm trying to help you to understand the context of the time frame and the period. And so Daniel, a student of the Scripture, understood the Scriptures. He had studied the Scriptures. He was a young man in his teens, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were taken into Babylon because of the 70 years that the children of Israel, 70 periods of 7 years, they had violated. They had not kept the seventh year Sabbath. And so God said, "Okay, I said that the land would rest, and the land's going to rest." And so he took them captive into Babylon for 70 years. Daniel was such a student of the Scripture, some 500 B.C., that he understood and he recognized the times, and he rose to great prominence, and he rose to great presence with Nebuchadnezzar and with Babylon. And so it was that when the time came for him to leave, God gave him favor with Cyrus, and Cyrus wrote the decree that they might be able to return to Jerusalem and to begin to rebuild the city, the walls thereof, and the temple. And so 500 plus years earlier, because of his position, he trained them in the Torah, which would include the expected birth of the Messiah as prophesied in Daniel and earlier scriptures. He was highly regarded in the king's court for decades. And since he was a eunuch, he had acquired quite an estate and inheritance. There's a strong possibility he could have left it all to the Magi at that time. Now keep in mind, this is 500 years prior to the birth of Christ. 100 years later, 400 years prior to the birth of Christ, God hushes. And heaven doesn't hear, the earth doesn't hear another sound from God, so to speak. There are 400 silent years from Malachi to Matthew. So you have to understand that people became perhaps very weary and very discouraged during that time. Magi expecting them to watch for the star and to visit and present the special gifts to the Messiah. There was a series of constellations that guided the Magi, wise men, to the Christ child. As mentioned in the Scriptures, it may have been up to 2 years that the Magi traveled. Software, you can check me out on this, at NASA proves the constellations did indeed occur at that time. And so let me just put this in perspective for you here this morning. In the text that we have just read, you understand that when they came to Herod, it wasn't 2 years later, because guess where they sent the wise men to? Guess where the scribes said, even though Herod and the wise men, the scribes rather, wouldn't go with the wise men down to Bethlehem to worship Jesus, they sent him to Bethlehem. So I want you to understand, it was not 2 years later that the wise men came, as some have taught and some have preached, because they sent them to Bethlehem. He's still in Bethlehem, but he's not in a manger. He is in a house. They come to the house where Mary and the young child are, and they present their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The birth was not in June, as some would teach, and definitely, most certainly not on December the 25th. Hello, don't throw anything at me. The date of December the 25th is most near the time of Jesus' Immaculate Conception. Why? Because the Hebraic calendar, by the way, I'm so full of it this morning, I want to shout, y'all. Do you realize that Christmas Eve night, At 6 o'clock begins Hanukkah. Whew. Do you know how often that occurs? It very seldom occurs. Go look it up and look for the next 10 years and see when Hanukkah occurs. It jumps all about because of our calendars. Is it coincidental? No, God's never coincidental is my point. So it is most near the time of the Immaculate Conception. According to accurate historical data, in the 25th year of the reign of Caesar Augustus, 3 to 2 B.C. Christian era, by the command of Rome, all subjects of the empire were required to register support in naming the divine emperor Octavius Augustus, the father of the Roman Empire, which was approved by the Roman Senate on February the 5th, 2 BCE, Christian era. Because God established the Jewish feast days to be holy appointments with him, it has been easily found in the scripture that the Messiah would be born on the Feast of Tabernacles. Emmanuel, God with us. Hello, church, shout. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah, praise his name. Emmanuel, God with us. 400 years, God had been silent. Are you listening? I'm not shouting at you, I'm preaching to you. 400 years, God had been silent. And all of a sudden, it has been easily found that the Messiah would be born on the Feast of Tabernacles as the Word was made flesh, and the Scripture, the actual Greek says, and I'm not very smart, but I do know a little bit, okay, in John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt tabernacled among us. Ooh, one day we're going to tabernacle with him throughout the ages of eternity. Yeshua Jesus was born in Sukkah on the high Sabbath of the feast day of Sukkot, the 15th day of the seventh month, 3998 B.C. F.C., I'm sorry. Thursday, September the 26th. You can look it up. You can check it out. 3 BCE Christian era. There are some who may even argue that the actual day in September, but we do know that God is a God of order always, and it makes total sense that he would fulfill this appointment specifically as outlined in the Holy Scriptures. We can find specifically the day that this feast was held with today's technology. Hello. What was the sermon I preached to you all right before Thanksgiving? How they discovered the lost day in space that had been recorded in Bible history in two different places. In fact, three different places it had been recorded. You see, God has given. You want to know how Pastor Johnny knows that Jesus is coming? Because all of the signs and everything together, the technology and everything, is giving us the ability today to understand that the Word of God is infallible, it is inerrant, it is truth without any mixture of error, it's forever settled in heaven, and not one jot or one tittle of God's Word will ever pass away. That's shouting ground even for a Methodist. One more thing. There's no reference, absolutely none, as to how many magi there were. I know I've got three in my yard. And I know I've got them at the manger, okay? I thought about building a house over there and putting a boat there by the house. Okay? But there's no proof that there were just three. The scripture teaches that they brought three gifts, but the indication was just that, simply plural, meaning more than one. In other words, there's really no indication of how many magi, wise men, there were. It could have been any number, even 20 or more, because they traveled in large groups, large companies. They were never alone, and the reason they were never alone, the reason that they traveled in large groups and large companies was because of the meandering bands of robbers at that day and that time. All right, now I'll get to the sermon. That was just the introduction. His credibility and credentials are established in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. Now listen to me carefully. Look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. When you study the genealogy in Matthew, there are 42 generations from Jesus back to Abraham. From Abraham to David, We're 14 generations from the Exodus to Abraham and then the Exodus and then to Jesus. There are 42 generations. When you study the genealogy in Matthew and you start there, the genealogy is the same in the Gospel of Luke. There's much argument today about the genealogy, but look up here and don't miss what I'm about to tell you. He is the only Jew living today that can prove his genealogy. Why? Because God allowed the temple to be destroyed in 70 AD, and every record of that period of time and all past history was destroyed except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ recorded in his word. Give God a hand of praise for that. Think about it. Think about how he's preserved history for you and I. Therefore, his credibility and credentials have been established. Joseph was a son of David. Where did they go back to? They went back to Bethlehem. His calling and commission. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name was called Jesus, the only name whereby men may be saved, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Dr. Luke wrote that for us. I would think Dr. Luke would know something about the birth of Jesus Christ and something about him. You know why? Because Luke interviewed Mary. Luke is the only one in the scripture that records the minute details of a mother giving birth to a child. And only a mother would know. And only a mother would be able to say, yes, emphatically, this is what took place. And my friend, listen to me. If you can't trust the record of Mary recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, then you can't believe John 3:16. You can't take part of it and leave the rest of it out. God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary as well as to Joseph. And the birth is recorded and the credentials are there for us. His name was called Jesus. The wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. Why did they come? They came for one reason and one reason only. Because they were students of the scripture. And when the time came and they saw the star, they knew what had happened and they knew what had taken place. And they wanted to go worship that king. God forgive us as Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, or whoever we are for not being students of the Word of God. Daniel was learned in every area of the Word of God, so much so that Nebuchadnezzar placed him over his entire kingdom. I want to ask you a question this morning. Can you be trusted that much with the Word of God? If God gave you the Word this morning, can you be trusted that much with the Word of God? I challenged you last Sunday to sit down. I listened to four pastors Monday night a week ago as they discuss chronologically the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they couldn't put it in order. And three of them, had their doctorates. And that's not a put down. My friend, listen to me. They were still in Bethlehem. You know why they were still in Bethlehem? Because on the eighth day, Jesus was to be circumcised. I talked about that last Sunday. God so designed the human anatomy of the male child. And by the way, he was the first fruits. And the first fruit had to be dedicated to the Lord. And the way the first fruit was dedicated to the Lord was he was circumcised. And you can never be uncircumcised again. And he was circumcised for you and I so that the heart could be circumcised by the blood of Christ, Paul said. And that we could be saved, that we could be changed. They came from the east to worship him. How did they know? Because a 15-year-old boy knew the Word of God so well. He knew the law so well. He knew the Psalms so well. He knew the Proverbs so well. He knew Isaiah so well. That the king, a wicked pagan king, placed him over all of his leadership in the kingdom and said, you teach them. You're a man of great wisdom. You're a man of great learning. You're a man of great stature. And your word can be trusted. because God reveals things to you. Let me ask you a question this morning. When's the last time God revealed something to you? You were so immersed in the Word of God, so deep in the Word of God. Your heart was so in the Word of God until God just began to speak to you. You didn't hear it from a preacher. You didn't hear it from Johnny Muller. You didn't hear it from a Sunday school teacher. You heard it straight from heaven as the Holy Spirit of God penetrated your heart with the Word of God and the revelation of Himself in a new and a fresh way. You want to know why they came? Because a 15-year-old boy had been faithful. And they came to worship him because they understood that he was a king and that he would forever be a king and that he would rule and reign upon the throne of his father David forever and forever and forever. My friend, let me ask you a question. Is he ruling in your heart this morning? Or are you so tangled up in all of the world? Are you still wanting to go back to Egypt as we preached about last Sunday? Are you murmuring and complaining and fault-finding and criticizing and backbiting? Are you jealous and angry and envy filling your heart? And when those young people sang, I wanted to jump up and start dancing on that pew I was sitting on there, but I was afraid some of you all would get up and leave and think I'd got something that you all didn't want. Let me tell you something this morning. God's going to pour out His Spirit in these last days. He's going to bring revelational knowledge to His people. He's preparing His people for His second coming, just like He prepared His people for His first coming. And if you want to get ready, you want to be a part of it, get in His Word and find out what thus saith the Word of the Lord. Did you hear me? This way means yes, Pastor Johnny, I heard you. That's the only way. If you're not, listen to me, you're going to be left in darkness as the events begin to unfold. They're happening so fast. All that's taking place is happening so quick and so fast. Yes, we've had the signs before, but not collectively. They're collectively happening, and they're happening so fast. Where is He? I'll get in trouble if I say what I'm about to say, so I won't say it. They weren't looking for a female. Ladies, no disrespect. I have a wife. I had a mother, a grandmother. I've got a granddaughter. No disrespect. They were looking for the King of the Jews. They were looking for Emmanuel, God with us. They knew the Scripture. His name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His name would be called Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. They came to Bethlehem. They didn't come over there to somewhere else 2 years later. Hello, study your Scripture. Look where the scribe said. Look what they told Herod. Look where Herod sent them. Look where the star appeared and led them to the house where he was. They came to worship a king. What's in your heart on Sunday mornings when you gather here with us? What did you bring with you? Get rid of it. Come to worship the King. That's why they came. That's why they came. They came to worship the King. Because He was born a king. He'll always be a king. His lineage, His credibility, His credentials cannot be revoked. Oh, but all Jerusalem is troubled. When Herod is troubled, all Jerusalem is troubled. When evil, my Bible says, reigns, it brings trouble and not peace. When the righteous man reigns, it brings peace. My friends, listen to me. He's coming, and one day He's going to bring peace to this world. There'll be no more war. They'll beat their swords and their plowshares into pruning hooks. And they'll learn war no more. I don't know how many of you have been following Syria. Read your Bible and you'll understand what's happening in Syria. It's prophesied. It breaks my heart. It kills my spirit to see what's happening with those precious little children. As I looked into the face of them, even last night on the news, even on the late news, as I observed and watched those precious little children in Aleppo, And I thought to myself, my God, how much longer? How much longer? How much longer? Church, are you burdened this morning? In the celebration of Christmas, if we are not careful, the gaiety will take us away. The gaiety will cause us to focus in the wrong direction. And if we're not careful, we'll miss. We'll miss why God sent His Son in one of the darkest moments in history. When Herod is troubled, all Jerusalem is troubled with him. Their question created panic. Panic in all of Jerusalem. He was a cruel, mean killer, an evil man. Many have commented about the trial that has taken place in Charleston. And many have used that word evil to describe that young man. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that we even have to have that word in our vocabulary when he came to bring peace on earth, goodwill to men? Herod had no desire to worship him. Listen to me. Herod was a person who was in control of his own life. He wanted to remain in control, and anybody that was called a king was a threat to him. And so he had to do away with them. He even had members of his own family killed. My friend, listen to me. There's an evil person out there that Jesus says he came but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. True worshipers will always discover the Son. True worshipers will place themselves in a position where they have a teachable spirit and they will worship the Son. I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait. I can't wait to, listen to me, I can't wait to be at the feet of Jesus. I can't wait to touch His feet. When I think of Mary and she poured that oil all over His feet and took her long, beautiful hair, which is her crown of glory, and washed His feet with her hair, I think about one day I want to be able to bow at the feet of my Savior and I want to worship Him as I've never worshipped Him before, church. Forgive me for being a little emotional today. Yesterday was just a day. What a day. As God poured into my heart, poured into my spirit, and brought me back to what Christmas is all about. Wise men, for we have come to worship Him. We have seen His star. God had prophesied that this star would appear. God had placed everything in position. Listen to me tonight, today, tomorrow. Listen to me. When you become serious about worship, God will take care of you. Hello? When you become serious about worship, somebody shared with me something this week, and I'm wrestling with a lot of decisions. We all wrestle with decisions, don't we? I'm searching more and harder than I've ever searched in my life for the will of God. I want to be in the center of His will. I don't want to be out from the umbrella of His divine protection. I don't know about you. But it was not until Abraham raised his arm with the knife and was ready to bring it down that God provided the ram. Hello? Isn't that amazing? Listen to me this morning. God's not going to do anything in your life until you prepare yourself for Him to do it. And He may call you to the point of having to raise that knife. Think about it. 700 years before,
He spoke through the prophet Isaiah. But when did he speak through him? When he saw God, when he prepared himself, then he saw what God was calling him to do. And in the very next chapter, the first prophecy, his name shall be called Emmanuel. A virgin's going to conceive. She's going to bear a son. His birth was not supernatural. Isaac's birth was supernatural. Jesus' birth was miraculous. Never before in recorded history, and never again has a woman conceived without the seed of a man. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for what God may want to do in your life? Don't miss it. Start getting ready now. Daniel was prepared. He was prepared, listen to me, before he went to Babylon. He was prepared before the difficult time came. He was prepared before the challenges came. He was prepared so that when time came for God to use him and to place him over all of the subjects of King Nebuchadnezzar, he was ready. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready. That's what Christmas is about. In the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, when everything was ready. Hello, I won't get to preach to the same crowd again. I know that. Some of you won't be back. I know that. I understand that. You're going to be gone Christmas Day. That's what I mean. Some of you are going to be gone. So I want you to hear it today. Are you ready? Wow. I can't believe it. My watch is 5 minutes fast. What time do y'all have? 11:30? 11:30. How about that? All right, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with what we know this morning? What are we going to do with what we've seen from the Word of God this morning that God showed us, revealed to us from the Word of God this morning? What are we going to do with it? To whom much is given, much is required. Now stop believing the lie that he, listen, stop believing the lie that the wise men came 2 years later. They did not. I just showed you from the Word of God. And it's all right if you've got them at the manger scene. It just, the manger wasn't a house. Okay? But why did they come? Why did they come? Y'all, he's coming. Just as sure as he came the first time. And I just proved to you this morning from the Word of God. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It is truth without any mixture of error. It is forever settled in heaven. Not one jot, not one tittle of his word will pass. So let me ask you a question. Are you going to be like those wise men? When you see the sign, are you going to know what it means? Are you going to be able to recognize the signs? If not, God's leading me to bring a whole series of messages on that. How much longer time I have with you all beginning in January. Because I believe, listen to me, I believe God's given us a reprieve in America to get the church ready. I believe that with all my heart. And y'all, last night I about jumped up and shouted. In fact, I did shout, didn't I, Roma? Roman was sitting by me in her recliner, and I says, look here. And I turned my computer around, and there was the exact word that I used with you all 4 weeks ago. The exact word. The exact word. And God is my witness. I was at the forum. I had no computer access. I couldn't even get on my smartphone and look up anything. I'm telling you, to those that prepare themselves in these last days, God's going to reveal himself, church. And we've got a chance in America. We've got to reprove in America. The church has got to reprove in America. And I believe it's time to get the bride ready. Now here's the invitation this morning. If you're not saved, you're not ready. You haven't even begun the journey if you're not saved. You need to be saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means to confess your sins, to repent of your sins, and turn to God through faith in Jesus Christ and ask him into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. Because I'm telling you, he's coming. And if you're not saved when he comes, you're going to be left behind. What else does it mean? It means that you're diligently in the Word of God every day, studying your heart out, asking Holy Spirit of God to open up the Word of the Father to you, His Son. He will not withhold any good blessing to those that love Him and those that serve Him. He will open up His Word to your heart. He'll speak to you just like He'll speak to me. He spoke to the prophets of old, and He'll speak to you the same way. I'm not special. You are just as special as I am. He died for you the same as He died for me. Hallelujah. You have the same access to Him that I have. So what do we do about it? Business as usual? Isn't it amazing that the scribes knew the Word of God, knew where He was going to be born? And when the wise men went, they didn't say, wait a minute, we want to go with you. Isn't it amazing? You know why? They were bought out by Herod. You see, listen to me, you can sit in church on Sunday morning and be bought out because you're afraid to take that next step of what God may do in your life, and you don't want to be embarrassed. You think more of yourself than you do your eternal destiny and your eternal future. Think about it. Listen to me. I love you with all my heart, but listen to me. He's coming. Okay, we got to go. I don't understand that. I'm just full. And when I get full, I want to ooze out. I hope I've oozed out into somebody this morning. I hope you've grasped the truth of His Word. And if you haven't, let's settle it today. Come down here to this altar. Come talk with me. Come talk to Steve Jackson. Come talk to Leon, Michael French, Doug French, Henry Chasen, Janie, some of these ladies. We'll help you come to know Christ and trust Him as your Lord and your Savior. Because I'm telling you, church, He's coming. Let's pray. Father.